I've been given the thumbs up that the microphone is on, and so welcome. Good to see you here tonight. We will have, in just a few moments, Brother Bubba Stahl will come and give us our second installment of six messages this week, or eight messages this week, and kind of work with him tonight, because he said he's not used to morning and evening services anymore, so we're gonna pump you up. And so it's good to have you here to have you here. A couple of announcements. Be sure you remember tomorrow, noon meal. And then on tomorrow night, we will have a meal at 5:30 and then the worship time at 6:30. There are sign-up sheets for those who help serve in the evening time and then also help clean up. And the more we have on that cleanup crew, the quicker we can make sure people are here to participate in the worship time. So be prayerful about that. If you can help, we more than grateful to have you do that. Let me pray, and then Brother Houston's going to come lead us in song. Father, we love you and thank you for vision for us through this day. Lord God, it's our desire to offer to you worship that is worthy, that is a sweet savor to your nostrils, and that, Lord God, that you are pleased to receive. So stir us by your Spirit, Father, so that we lift our voices appropriately, and especially coming from hearts that are grateful and desiring to praise you. We thank you that you constantly feed us. Lord God, may we be a delight to you as we respond to what you're doing in our midst. I pray for our time of lifting up our voice to you in song. Also for Brother Bubba as he brings your word. Lord, give us understanding and draw us near to you. Thank you for Christ Jesus. Thank you for his death and resurrection. Thank you, Father, for the future that is promised to all who believe. Lord God, may we experience an encounter with you tonight that is fresh and powerful, all to your glory. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand as we sing hymn number 600. Hymn number 600, More About Jesus.
More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More, more about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More saving fullness see, his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own. More of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. see more of His love who died for me.
Got called up singing, forgot I was supposed to be up here. Because it's offering time, I have the responsibility to kind of instruct you. If you are giving for your church offering, for any special designated offering toward the church, I encourage you to go ahead and give. We will concentrate upon putting donations for Brother Bubba this week in the love offering envelopes for today. Tomorrow we'll change that, but if you're going to give a love offering for the revival, please put it in a love offering envelope, and that way make sure to get that directed in the right way. Let me pray as we prepare this time. Father, we thank you for every blessing that you have poured out into our lives. It is a great joy to know you, Lord God, through faith in Christ Jesus, and then to experience the way that you have abundantly blessed. And so, Father, now we, in appreciation for this one that has come to serve in our midst this week, and also for the responsibility we have in giving our offering to this church that we might see its ministry continue to flourish, we entrust this time of giving to you. We pray for wisdom. We pray, Father, that you engage our hearts with great generosity as we consider how you have so generously poured out into our lives. We love you. Thank you for this privilege. And we pray it to your glory, that as we give it, it's multiplied to your kingdom's work. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so Redeemer.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Houston and others. Let's pray together. Whenever we're singing, we're praying. And every prayer is God's favorite song from you. So, Father, we know that it pleases you when we pray and when we pray together. We know you have received our prayer as we have sung tonight. And, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us the way that you love us, through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross for each of one of us, and not just for us, but for the whole world. We love you, God, and our desire is to love you more and more. Holy Spirit, only you can make that happen. Change us to become like Jesus more and more is our prayer. And we know that this wake-up call that you give to each one of us this week will make that happen as we learn of Christ by you, our teacher, Holy Spirit. And for your glory, Father, now and forever we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And hallelujah. Well, good evening, beloved. I tell you, I love Sunday night. I miss it. I don't know. We at our church, we have different things on Sunday night. One month, we'll have a prayer meeting. And once a month, Bible training. Then a couple of Sunday nights, we have meetings that people do. But I grew up, like I know many of you, now you're sitting in different places than you were this morning. Even the pastor moved out. That makes it harder to learn your names, but I'll get used to that. But I grew up, my parents also grew up this way. Sunday morning was Sunday school and church. That was one word. They didn't do services back then. So Sunday school and church. Sunday night was training union church. We did that. Wednesday night was RA, prayer meeting. That was one word. And so that was what we did. And I love Sunday night. So thank you for gathering. Let's pick up where we left off this morning. We're talking about a wake-up call. That's what the theme of this week is, a wake-up call. Now, Robert, you know, he's kind of interesting the way he puts things. He called it a wake-up call from Bubba Stahl, and he thought that was, and it does have a ring to it. No pun intended there, but seriously, the wake-up call doesn't come from me. It may come through me, but it comes from God. God is the one who calls us. The invitation. Everything about God is an invitation. His whole word, the Bible, is an invitation for us to know him. This is not for us to learn Bible knowledge, dates, chronology, all that. You can do all of that, and that's good to do different Bible study. But make no mistake about it, God gave us his word in order that we might know him. And we know him fully in Jesus Christ. And so we understand that the Old Testament promises and prophesies the coming of Christ. That's what the Old Testament is about. The Gospels present Christ. Here he is. And we see him. We hear him. The book of Acts proclaims Christ. That's what they did, the sermons. When our youngest son, Dan, he went to Hardin-Simmons. And when he came home at Thanksgiving, he was taking New Testament. And I was really encouraged. I said, well, who's your professor? He told me. I said, well, where are you in the New Testament right now? He said, we're in the book of Acts. I said, how is your professor approaching it? He said, we're looking at the sermons. I said, that's it. Yeah, because the book of Acts proclaims Christ. I said, well, what have you learned about the sermons? He said, well, we learned that the longest sermon in the book of Acts is when Stephen preached. and they stoned him. And the shortest sermon is on the day of Pentecost, Simon Peter, 3,000 were saved. And then he just looked at me like he was waiting for my response to that. So I said, well, you're learning, and maybe I need to learn that. The letters from Romans to Jude explain what the life of Christ looks like in our life. Because in Christ, He dwells in us, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He lives. Jesus promised that when He told them, I'm going away, but it's to your advantage, because then the Holy Spirit will be sent, another like me. He said, another helper. He will live with you, for He will live in you forever. And so He is our teacher, our guide into all truth. He's the one that is changing us. He takes what is Christ and declares it in us, changing us to become more like Jesus. And you see, when we're learning, and that's what we're doing with this wake-up call. It's an invitation to, in the occasion that you're in. And Mary this morning was in the occasion, Mary Magdalene, of a disastrous disappointment. And in that setting, she was thirsty. And so she was able to hear when Jesus called her name. That was her wake-up call, that personal call. Well, when we are in that occasion, that thirsty occasion, we're in the place where we can respond to His wake-up call. And when we do, we are learning of Christ. Not about Christ, learning of Him by the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. And when I say learning of Him, that means His life appropriated, imparted to us, and then appropriated as we learn. And it's a spiritual learning. It's not an intellectual learning. It is a spiritual learning, as we'll see from our passage tonight from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. With the mind of Christ, we have it. And so as we do, this is not a behavior modification. It's likeness. His likeness in you begins to be expressed, begins to come out. That's what it means to become like Jesus. His life in you is your life. God did not send His Son to help you with your life, behavior modification. God sent His Son to become your life, to be your life. So we want to get that wake-up call, and I'm praying that each one will hear this week a wake-up call in whatever occasion you may be in. Well, remember, Jesus was doing this in John chapter 7, verse 37, I believe. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. And as the Scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Wow. What a promise. What an invitation. But the choice must be made in the occasion that we're in. Now, here's the occasion. Here's the wake-up call tonight. It's the call to humility. The call to humility. And here's the occasion. There may be someone here that can identify. I have a sneaking suspicion all of us can. And it's called pride. Don't raise your hand. Self-centeredness, another way to call it, pride. The Apostle Paul likes to use the word flesh, the flesh. He says it dwells in me. Sin, singular, not sins. Our sins are forgiven. They're gone. Don't go looking for them. Jesus came out of the tomb. They're gone. He took them in there with Him. He died in our place. He died. He became sin, as we sang, and took our sin. But our sins, plural, all of our sins, past, present, future. But sin, singular, Romans 6, go back and study it. Still is there that heritage of sin that we got from our parents, Adam and Eve. We inherited that. And it's a lifetime of overcoming pride, overcoming selfishness, overcoming my will in order His will may be done. And so this is a wake-up call when you make the moral decision to see sin in me and to say, that makes me thirsty for Christ. I need Jesus, because there was no trace of pride, of self-centeredness, of flesh in Jesus Christ. He did not sin. He did not have that. He was perfect in every way. And He gave His life in order that we may receive His life as our life and overcome pride, selfishness, self-seeking, and become Christ-centered and as hungry to do the will of God as Jesus was when He walked this earth. Well, let's look at our scripture tonight. We'll look at a few other passages along with the ones we've already quoted. Take a look at Philippians chapter 2. I know it's a passage that you're familiar with. It describes Jesus. Now, remember, like we said this morning, Jesus is revival. So we want to turn our attention to Him. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus to experience this wake-up call and then have Him begin to change us into His likeness. And Jesus was humble. Look what the Apostle Paul says in verse 5. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be a thing to be grasped, held on to, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now, I want to stop there. The scripture goes on to talk about how God exalted Him. And that was one of the teachings of this, that we must humble ourselves. And that is a willful choice that a person makes because they're thirsty. Of the moral decision that not working out for me. It always ends in death. Being self-centered is unsatisfying. There's a continual hunger and thirst if you stay in that occasion. You stay in that situation. But as you pray, God, show me the lies that I have believed. Our world, we are inundated with the advertisement and the encouragement to be prideful. Good grief, for crying out loud. What kind of world are we living in? A sinful world. And we are inundated with advertisement to encourage that, to get our attention. And so this is a serious occasion that we're in of being thirsty. But you can pray, God, You've given me a thirst for getting rid of this pride. I want to be like Jesus. He didn't have that thirst that I have with pride. And it always messes things up. So show me the lies that I have believed from the world that have encouraged me to go down this path of pride, of self-centeredness. Well, as you do, You will begin to experience the invitation of God, the invitation of Jesus to come to Him and drink. And so this happens in our mind. This is passage of Scripture. Let this mind be in you. If you want to be like Jesus, you need to learn of Him by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And when you see some key words in this passage of Scripture, of course, the first one, humbled Himself. He humbled Himself. He served. He was obedient. So humility, serving, and obedience has to do with the answer, the wake-up call to become humble, to humble yourself. We've got to take a serious look at serving and obedience. And when we say obedience, we're talking about the will of God, the will of God for you. Now, let's take a look at some scripture on that, because there's four places, because I have people ask me this all the time. Well, I want to know what God's will is in this occasion. I want to know what God's will is, if I just knew what to do it. But how can I know the will of God? Well, there's four places where the Bible says, and this is the will of God for you. It's pretty plain. You want to walk through it with me? Let's look at John chapter 6, verse 40. Start there. John chapter 6, verse 40 is the place to start when Jesus said, if we go too fast, just write the reference down. Take a look at it later. John 6, 40. And Jesus said to the crowd, for this is the will of my Father. There it is. What is it? That everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's the will of God for you to believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus promises life. Now, eternal life is Christ in you. That's the gift of God. The gift of God is a person, Jesus Christ. And the promise, and this is the will of God for you, that everyone, no one is excluded on that. But the condition is who believes. The one that everyone who looks on the Son and believes into Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. All right, here's another one. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Go way back other side of to the right of Philippians where you were. And these are some good verses to memorize because they're so short. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray continually. In everything give thanks. Here it comes. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What's the will of God for you? To rejoice always. To pray continually. And to give thanks. Those go together. Because you really can't pray. You can't give thanks without prayer. And when you're praying, you're rejoicing that God is waiting for you when you pray. And this is God for you, that you rejoice, that you pray, that you give thanks. This is the will for you. Look at chapter 4, just the next page. Here's another place where it says this is the will of God for you. If you want to know what the will of God is, believe in Jesus, put your faith into Him. Respond to what He's doing with joy, with prayer, with gratitude. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. He says, for this is the will of God. There it is. What is it? Your sanctification. We'll talk about that tomorrow at noon more. The holiness of Jesus. Your sanctification. But he gives some specifics about what that looks like. That you abstain from sexual immorality. So this is the will of God for you, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Good grief, how clear can you get than that? That's the will of God for you. But see, in order to do the will of God, you've got to deny your will to do that. You've got to put to death the desire that you have to not believe, to not be joyful, to not be prayerful, to not be thankful, and to be sexually promiscuously. You know, when I worked cattle on King Ranch, when first 10 years we got married, Beth and I, we worked on a lot of ranches. I never used that word, promiscuous. I still can't say it right, but I think you know what that is. You abstain from sexual immorality. And the Bible is real clear about the gift of sexuality that He has given to us. and how to glorify God. Well, if there's anything that our society, our culture needs to hear, it's this is the will of God, that we abstain from sexual immorality. And then look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Other side of Hebrews and James, we have that phrase once again. Chapter 2, verse 13. But be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors, or as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. What's the will of God for you? To submit to the authorities that God has placed in our lives. Now, Peter mentions the civil authorities, but we have the authority of the family. We have authority of the church family. We have the authority of the land where we live. And how this is the will of God is that we learn to submit to authority. This will resist God and not fear him. We learn the fear of the Lord by doing the will of God. And so here we have it. Believe on Jesus. Believe into Jesus. Anyone, that's the will of God. To rejoice and pray and give thanks. To abstain from sexual immorality. And to submit to authority in the land. I think probably a Sunday night crowd in Edna or Kingsville or wherever doesn't have any trouble with the first three. But that last one, we kind of say, well, does that mean I'm supposed to drive the speed limit? Garrett would say yes. Yes. That's a no-brainer. And yet, no, we make an excuse for ourselves. And we step out of the will of God when we do, according to the Scripture. God's Word says that this is doing the will of God when we submit to the authorities. Until the authority is telling us to be disobedient to Christ, then we'll suffer for doing good. And it will be a witness. It will be a witness. I've got plenty of time, so let me tell you a story about that one. While we were at First Baptist Church Breckenridge, one of our members, a rancher, came to us and said, our niece is getting married out at our ranch, and she's been going to school at Wheaton in Illinois. And she's asked professors to come do the ceremony at our church. I said, well, of course, yes, that's fine. Is it a pastor? Yeah, it's Pastor Joseph Chong. Are you kidding me? I knew him. I knew about him. He was in India during the Iron Curtain days and arrested and told not to preach the gospel anymore. And he says, no, I must preach the gospel. He was a writer, one of the leading pastors in Romania. So first they threatened him with his life and said, well, we're going to kill you. And he said, go ahead. My writings will be real popular after that. And they realized that. So they said, we're going to torture you. He said, he came to our church. I asked him to preach. And after he finished preaching, he came to our house for lunch, and he told me this story. He said, so they told me not to preach anymore. I said, no, I'm going to preach because that's the will of God for me. No, we're not going to let you. We're going to torture you. So what you can do, just knock yourself out. He didn't say that. But he said they took me down to the prison. They threw me in the cell. He said, I pray, God, give me strength. Help me to endure whatever's going to happen tomorrow. He said the next day they took him, they sat him down in a chair, they taped his hands, his legs to the chair. He said, I was ready. Three men walked in the room. He said, I was ready to start getting hit, get my fingernails out, get pulled out. I didn't know what was going to come. He said, but I was just ready. He said, these three men walked around me for about 10 minutes, just staring at me, glaring at me. All right. He said, then they started cursing me. And I kept waiting for them to hit me. He said, they were just vile, cursing me, my family, my Lord, on and on, just cursing. And I thought, well, if this is all they can do, I can stand it. He said, 45 minutes later, I started crying out. It was more painful than any physical pain I thought was coming. 6 hours later, they drug him back to his cell. He said, I did not have the energy. Beloved, never underestimate the power of your word. We're made in the image of God. He not only created with his word, he cursed with his word, and it's destroyed. What's devoted to destruction. So Joseph's song said, when they drug me back to my cell, I just collapsed. I said, Lord, I can't take another day of that. He said, I didn't know what I was going to do. He said, I was praying, God, help me. I can't stand that. I can't stand that. That cursing is getting into my heart and it's getting in my skin. He said, I heard the Lord say one word. He said, sing, Houston. He said, sing, sing, sing. He said, my father was the pastor. I was brought up singing the hymns. I knew all the hymns. He said, so I started singing very quietly in my cell, and that strengthened me as I was singing. He said, the next day they came, got me, put me in that same chair, take my hands, started walking around, started cursing. He says, they started cursing. I started singing. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, filling my soul with glory divine. Come on. Hallelujah, I'm rejoicing, singing my praises, Jesus is mine. He said, after about 30 minutes of hearing me singing, those three men ran out of the room. They couldn't stand it. And he said, over the next 6 months, well, that was the routine that we did. They would have to stop because of my singing. And he said, one by one in the middle of the night, those three men came to Jesus Christ as their Savior. They said, we've never seen anything like that. We've never seen anybody rejoice when they were suffering. Well, he said, I can tell you about my Savior who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Well, all that to say is it's God's will to do good under the law of the land. And when the law violates that, to know this is my occasion to witness the joy that I have by enduring the punishment that they will give. Okay, well, in order to do the will of God, though, we've got to put to death those things that are in us that are earthly, that pride. The Apostle Paul talks about it like taking off an old garment, put off. And of course, he's also referring to the day that we will put off this old body. Beloved, this body's not going there. When you look in the mirror in the morning, I'm looking at a pretty old crowd like me. You can rejoice when you see that image on the other side of the mirror. That's not going. I don't know when that happened, but it doesn't look good. No, the Lord has a resurrected body created not with hands, but by Jesus Christ, that we will rejoice and serve forever and ever. And so he even refers to putting off this body one day when he calls us home. But in the meantime, we are to put off. Now, I like Colossians. I put, if you in your bulletin, there's a couple of passages I'd like for you to spend some time with. One, of course, is from the book of Philippians, which is about thinking. Look at the word thought or thinking all through this book. And it's Philippians 4, I believe verse 8 maybe. Finally, brethren. Yeah, there it is. I'm going to try to do it without looking at the screen. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, if there's anything pure, lovely, commendable, anything excellent and worthy of praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Now that is a willful choice that we make to what we think about. And then, of course, Colossians chapter 3 is just one of my favorites, nearly the whole chapter, verse 1 through 17. But I love the way it begins. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Set your mind on things above, not on things down here. To seek those things which are above, where Christ is, and to set your mind on things above, not on things down here. Now, I know the world comes along and says, oh, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But listen, that's not Bible. The Bible says you're no earthly good until you're heavenly minded. We set our mind, and that's a willful choice. That's why Paul says, let this mind be in you. You have it, but it's not automatic. You've got to choose that. And regardless of the surrounding that you're in, you are free to choose what you think about. And we all know how that affects the way we feel and the way we do. And so when we set our mind on things above, when we seek those things which are above, when we set our mind on things above, we're in the place to see Jesus, to learn of Him, and to become more and more like Him. If you're thirsty for that, then choose to think more and more about Jesus. Thank you, Houston, for that song. It's like the theme song of the week. Which, by the way, very interesting story about the lady who wrote that. Google it. And I'll just leave it there. So more about Jesus. But in order for that to happen, we've got to put to death those things. That's the next. Let me back up to Colossians. Since you've been raised with Christ, you see, when Christ died, you died with Him. It's one of the key words. There's three key words. Our folks in Kingsville get so tired of hearing me say backwards. Three key words. First word, for. For. That's for those of us down here, John, you don't probably say it that way in Michigan. Art in New Jersey probably don't say for that way. Fire, probably say fire. Right? F-O-R, for. Christ died for you in your place. He took our sin and our sorrow for substitution. Here's the next word, with. When Christ died, you died with Him. When God raised Christ from the dead, you were raised with Him. In fact, Ephesians says you're seated with Him already in heavenly places. Good grief. Can understand that. You know, the old great pastor R.G. Lee, that before Adrian Rogers at Bellevue Baptist Church. The story goes that I didn't know him, but I heard this story that my mentor, Buckner Fanning, knew him very well. I had him to San Antonio and preached many times, and he told me this story. That R.G. Lee, when he got there, he told his people, he said, oh, one of these days I want to take a group to Israel. I want to go to Israel. And when I go, I'm going to take your group with me. Oh, boy. He said, yeah, I want to walk where Jesus walked. I want to see where Christ died and rose. And I want to see the Sea of Galilee where He walked on. I want to be there. I want to see that. I want to go, with the Lord willing. Well, finally, it came about. He was able to take a group. And they went. Some of us have been. And they do the same thing at Gordon's Calvary, Gordon at the Garden Tomb. It's owned by the British still. And so they were all there, and that British guide, I wish I could do that accent, but I can't, won't try. Anyway, the British guide said, well, first of all, I'm wondering if any of you have ever been here before. And R.G. Lee raised his hand. And his church people said, what? You said you've never been, you want to go. Oh, sir, when were you here? He said, I was here 2,000 years ago. When Christ died, I died with Him. And when God raised His Son from the dead, I was raised with Him. That's with. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your mind on things which are above. Seek those things which are above where Christ is. And the other word is in. in. For, with, in. Three little words with so much meaning. Mutual indwelling. That Christ lives in me. That I live in Christ. That Christ lives in the Father and the Father lives in Him. That's an eternity to try to dig and receive insight into mutual indwelling. So we've got to, in order to get there, I've got to put to death those things that are in me that are earthly. That's what Colossians goes on to say. Let me start it over. It's hard to jump in the middle of it. Since you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So that when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with Him in glory. Mortify, therefore, those things that are in you that are earthly. Now, that's the King James. Put to death. But the King James, the old English word is mortify. You know the word mortgage? Mort, by the way, that means death. And a mortgage, when you have a mortgage, you are putting to death a loan month at a time. And mortifying those things that are in you that are earthly will take even longer than a 30-year mortgage. But to death by degree, that's what the word mortgage. And that's the word mortify. Put to death those things that are in you that are earthly. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming, and in them you once lived when you were walking in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. And stop lying to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man and have put on the new man, Adam, old man, Christ, new man, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised nor incircumcised, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. Well, you put to death. Now, Romans 6, I again, people get tired of hearing me say this. I teach people to just live in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Those four chapters I read in every day. I don't read all. I have it divided up in about eight sections. But here in Romans 6, the Apostle Paul talks about this very thing. About how, since this is a reality in Christ, we need to count it a reality in our life. I like the word reckon. That's what it is. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God. And when you are, you will present yourself to God rather than to sin that dwells in me. It's always there, waiting for an occasion. Don't go there. When you think you're being tempted, go to these thoughts about the humility of Jesus Christ and see how He humbled Himself and became obedient. We know what God's will is, that we can go to that and concentrate. Get our verse of Scripture that we're memorizing. Review that. Oh, I tell you, the devil will get off of you in a hurry when you do that, because you'll start singing pretty soon. And your mind gets focused on that. Oh, I pray that this is a wake-up call for somebody here today. It will say, I started doing that and everything changed. Everything changed. When I started waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and then just worrying about everything in the world, no, I said, no, I'm not going there. I'm going to think about Jesus. I'm going to think about His humility, something specific. Okay, so here's your assignment, and then we're going to conclude. I want to give you an assignment. Of course, first of all, put to death those things that are in you that are earthly. Two categories, sexual immorality and anger, just like Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount. It seems to get a lot of us with those two. But you put that to death. You mortify that. You get that verse, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You live that. You reckon that. And you put that to death. And then you concentrate. Here's your assignment. Find, take a week and just comb through the Gospels looking for the humility of Jesus. How he obeyed God. How he served other people. Serving, remember, two words, serving, obeying. That's how he humbled himself. Oh, you'll find so many. But just spend a week combing through, pick out some, write them down. I suggest at least seven of them. And memorize those scenes. I'm not talking about memorizing scripture. Memorize the scene. Now, I didn't bring them tonight, but tomorrow I'm going to bring, I've got 40 scenes of Jesus that I took out of that the little book that I wrote, True Worship. Some of you got the last time I was here. And so I just took the last 40 days, which are 40 scenes from the life of Jesus, and I brought 30 copies. They're not for sale. Just get them. And if they disappear, don't worry. I've got the master and we'll get Tangy to make some copies and they can do whatever you do here to put them together. But that'll just kind of get you a start. But here, let me give you the first one. When Jesus was a boy, I remember what, in 12 years old, remember that scene? There he was. They were in Jerusalem, Passover. It was time to go home. I kind of picture Joseph said, okay, let's go to the house. And Mary and Joseph took off. They thought Jesus, 12 years old, he was with family. They all traveled as family. But when Jesus heard, let's go to the house, where'd he go? To the Father's house. Closest place to heaven on earth. And he knew that because he'd been to Jerusalem all his life. And he went there. And it says when Mary and Joseph left, Jesus stayed. I love that. Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph, the whole day of traveling, thought he was with friends. When they started with their camp, they couldn't find him. You can't travel at night, so the next day they traveled all the way back. They spent that day looking. And when they found him, you remember how they found him? They found him sitting among the teachers of the law, asking questions. And they were amazed at his answers. And Mary and Joseph, kind of typical parents of a 12-year-old, walked up and said, did you not know that my father and I were looking for you? And classic, brilliant Jesus answers with a question, did you not know where you would find me? Where else would I be? Except in the presence of the Father in the house of prayer, inquiring more and more from God's word. What a beautiful scene. That's worth meditating on. Thinking about picturing yourself looking at that. Here's your assignment. If you're willing to accept it, find seven scenes of this in the Gospels that would look like humility. Write them down. So that, now listen, this is a big assignment because tomorrow at noon, I've got another assignment. The same thing. For you to find from the Bible, Jesus in his holiness, his purity, and to write that down, combing the scripture to get that. Why? So that you can set your mind on things which are above. so that you have a vision of what God is doing in you. And that wake-up call to humility is a place to start. That's a big one. I wonder if that could speak to someone here tonight. I wonder if the gardener would plant that word in your heart here tonight. The word of humility. And watch how God can cause it to be nurtured and reign and grow and bear fruit. That fruit will be the likeness of Jesus Christ and will give the Father glory and you indescribable joy as you are faithful to walk in it. Amen and hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads. Pastor Robert will be here for anyone that would come for prayer, to come to respond in any way, to come and respond, or just the altar is open for you to come and pray. If you don't want to talk to Robert, that's okay. Talk to God. He'll want that fellowship with the Lord. But as we pray and then sing, I pray that you would ask the Lord, give me ears to hear the wake-up call. I want to see Jesus more than life itself. Father, that is our prayer, that each of us would hear a wake-up call, that you are inviting us to know you, to see you in the Bible, to see you in one another, in fellowship with one another as we gather so regularly, and to experience you from the fellowship that we enjoy. God, may it be a wake-up call that will change everything. And for tonight, that it'll change every thought, taking it captive to Christ. For your glory, for our joy and strength, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Robert, Brother Houston, let's sing.
Houston and team. Thank you, Brother Bubba. It's a lot to think on. Man, I don't think I saw him look at notes one time. Man, I'm ashamed. You're doing your job, bro. I'm humbled. You confess it and get over it. That's what Mama used to say. That's good advice. Listen, tonight's message, I've never quite heard it put like that before, but this idea has been there. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things that are holy, that are That's what he desires for us, is to have minds and hearts that are focused upon him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And where else should we look? Nowhere else. And that's exactly what Peter said, right? Where else can we go for words of eternal life? We should look to him, and shame on us for looking anywhere else. And maybe that's why we do walk in situations where we lull ourselves to sleep or we find ourselves off track. Focus upon the things that are holy. For a believer, that should be very near and dear to our hearts. And thank you for the assignment. Look at the Word of God for instances where Christ is humble, where Christ is holy. And endear those to your heart, that they change you. Change me into the image of Jesus. This is what we're called to. Father, thank you for your being in our midst tonight and using this servant tonight to charge and challenge us, to point us to you, our Christ, who gave himself for us in humility. And Lord God, because of that, you're exalted and raised up to the highest place to which you will bring us. In fact, you've already seated those who belong to you there. And Lord God, may we find ourselves looking like you and being humble like you in the days to come. Lord God, for those that do not know Christ in this place, I pray, Father, you're convicting hearts and that you're pulling and drawing these to yourself. Thank you, Father, for such love and patience. Lord God, as we depart from this place tonight and become your scattered church, we pray, Father, that we'll honor you and that we'll announce you to others, Lord God, so that they might know you by grace through faith. Be glorified in all these. Pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Do not forget, we have services tomorrow, and we encourage you to be here. Bring folks with you. Don't worry about how much food we might or might not have. Come and bring people here, fed spiritually as well as physically. God bless you. Have a good night.
As we go, may your Spirit go before us. As we go, may we follow where you lead. May we live what we have learned, share the message we have heard, and be a light unto the world as we go.
Good night.